Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm Lisa Zimmer, and I am thrilled to offer you such a very special show today. Many of you may remember when spiritual teacher Debbie Ford passed away 5 years ago. Debbie died from a terminal illness, and while fighting courageously, she wrote a book, of course she did, of prayers that helped her through many of her life challenges. And blessed be, today, on National Women's Day, we get to talk to author Arielle Ford, Debbie's sister, who is promoting this on Debbie's behalf. And we're going to talk about the power of this book, the power of this prayer book, and what a timely coming and launching of this in this time, in this day, in this age that we all need to have some faith and have some buildup of hope. I think this is just such an incredible, timely launch of this book. And then on the second half of the show, we're going to speak with ninth-time Oscar announcer and narrator of Your Holiness, which is the name of Debbie Ford's book. I'm sorry if I neglected that. The name of Debbie Ford's book is Your Holiness. And Randy Thomas narrated that, as well as she's the ninth-time Oscar announcer. She's going to talk to us in the second half hour. So please help me welcome my first guest, author Arielle Ford, Debbie Ford's sister. Arielle, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This is so exciting.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I was so excited to do your show that I actually got to my desk an hour early.
I got the time all wrong.
I, like, bounced out of bed and go, oh, it's time to talk to Lisa. And then I called and it was like, call back in an hour. Like, okay.
Oh, awesome. I feel really good. I feel really good about that. I've been very excited about this. And of course, Debbie is with us. Her energy is all over here. She's very excited that this is going on. It's been a very different show to prepare for, I have to tell you, because it's like I got a little assistance from Deb up here. So it's been
She knows what she wants. She'll tell you.
It's a very cool show, very cool energy. So, Arielle, talk to me about how this book came into being.
Yeah, I will. It's a very magical story. So I'm sure you're familiar with James von Prague. And for the two people listening that don't, he's the world's most famous and highly esteemed medium. He talks to dead people. And he's a longtime family friend. Debbie and I met him in the early 1990s, so we've known him forever. And a little more than a year ago, he called to tell me that he had just moved to San Diego, and he wanted my husband and I and my mom to come see his new house. And then while we were with him, he would give us a reading with Debbie, which was phenomenal because you actually can't buy readings with him anymore. You can go see him on stage in front of 3,000 people and hope to get a reading, but you literally can't make an appointment with him, right? So he lives 45 minutes away in this beautiful resort-like estate, and we got the whole tour. And then we sat down in his office, and Debbie popped in instantly. And the very first thing she said was, Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me. And I just said to her, no, I don't think so. I don't want to write my own books, let alone your books, and how would we ever do that? And she was really insistent, and I was really, you know, had my sword in the ground. No, Debbie, I'm not going to do this. And then James says, she keeps talking to me about Minnie. Who is Minnie? And I was blown away, and I said to him, well, James, nobody knows this. In fact, you can't Google this information. But Bo, Debbie's son, has a half-sister named Minnie. And then he started laughing, and he said, oh, okay, now it makes sense. She wants you to tell Bo that when he was with Minnie, she was there too. Now, what was so crazy about this is that Bo lives in San Diego, Minnie lives in London, and she had just been here to visit us the week before. And on top of that, Minnie isn't even her real name. It's her nickname. So nobody on the planet knows this information. So the fact that he so precisely had her was really crazy. And then, of course, all the other dead relatives came through. You know, my two dads and Brian's family and, you know, my mother's soulmate. And, you know, and it was a good reading. But, yeah, but Debbie kept coming in saying, Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me. And, you know, 90 minutes into the reading, we're all kind of tired and hungry, and we had plans to go to lunch. And I knew that this reading was never going to end unless I said yes. So I finally just said to James, I said, I don't know how in the world this is going to happen. You might have to help me. But okay, Debbie, somehow, some way, we'll write a prayer book together. So we go to lunch, we're driving home, and Brian, my husband, says, you know, I spent so much time with your sister. I took her to all her doctor's appointments, her chemo treatments. We got so close, and I remember she told me she had written some prayers. Why don't you get a hold of Julie, and maybe she's got copies. Now, Julie Stroud is the woman who still runs the Ford Institute and is the keeper of everything Debbie. So I get home, and I send Julie a one-sentence email. And all it says is, do you by chance have copies of any prayers that Debbie wrote? And Julie writes me back and says, oh, I can do better than that. She wrote an entire manuscript. I've attached it. So
wow.
I'm like, what? I was her one and only literary agent. How in the world did she write a book that I didn't know about? When did she write this book? So I open it up. I start reading it. I read the entire book in one sitting. It is spectacular. It's the most beautiful thing she's ever written. And then I pick up the phone to call her editor at Harper One, Gideon Weil. And Gideon is not only her editor. He's my editor. He's James Von Prague's editor. He's Deepak's editor. He's Marianne Williamson's editor. And we've known him forever. So I say, hi, Gideon, it's Arielle. I need to talk to you about Debbie. And he stops me, and he says, I'm so glad you called. For the last 4 years, I've been feeling so guilty. Your sister always wanted to write a prayer book, and I always talked her out of it. And I said, well, today's your redemption. Check your inbox. I just sent it to you. So, of course, he bought it instantly. And then this week, the book has come out, and it's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. And it's just as juicy, love-filled, God-infused, coded book of hope and inspiration.
Oh, I love this. This is just so incredible. And how divine. I mean, you know, she doesn't mess around. She comes in, tells you what she wants. She knew she had it done. She knew it was going to be easy. Boom, bang, boom, it's done. And I think this is just incredible.
And the crazy part, the reason I didn't know about it was because she, rather than show it to me, she just went straight to Gideon. And when Gideon turned it down, she just put it away because – you know, in the last couple of years of her life, when we were together, we weren't really talking books. We were talking pain levels and experimental treatments and, you know, what she needed.
Right.
So it wasn't the conversation about your next book. Or even if she tried to talk to me about a book, I would never let her go there because I knew what her prognosis was. And it was like, you know, what can we do for you in this moment right now? Let's, you know, we'll talk about books later.
Okay. So as she was going through her treatment, is this when you believe she wrote the entire book, or was it
She wrote it before that. She had gone through a very difficult and unfortunate and really horrific relationship, which she actually believed was, you know, what kicked off the reoccurrence of cancer. And every morning she would get out of bed and go into her office and get on her hands and knees and pray to be released from this nightmare she was going through. And that's when she wrote it. So it actually got completed, I believe, a couple of years before she got super sick.
God bless her. Okay. Now, in the time in reading all of these prayers, there's a prayer here that is called Drenched in Holiness. And I really
That was her favorite. That was her absolute favorite.
Such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And I feel like, you know, today is, I found it a little ironic that it's National Women's Day and we've got, you know, this strong, powerful female that we're talking about today, and she, her essence lives on even in her passing. I'd like to talk about this. I'd like to read it first, and then I'd like to talk about it because
sure.
You can feel her through this so much in what she's moving through, and I think it's something that's representative of all of us on our own journey and in what we're moving through today in our lives, and we can all use this. So here we go. It's called Drenched in Holiness. Dear God, Spirit, Divine Mother, on this day I ask you to grant this request. May I know who I am and what I am every moment of every day. May I be a catalyst for light and love and bring inspiration to those whose eyes I meet. May I have the strength to stand tall in the face of conflict and the courage to speak my voice even when I'm scared. May I have the humility to follow my heart and the passion to live my soul's desires. May I seek to know the highest truth and dismiss the gravitational pull of my lower self. May I embrace and love the totality of myself, my darkness as well as my light. May I be brave enough to hear my heart, to let it soften so that I may gracefully choose faith over fear. Today is my day to surrender anything that stands between the sacredness of my humanity and my divinity. May I be drenched in my holiness and engulfed by your love. May all else melt away. That's like lyrics to a song.
Yes. Yes. And what she's done with this book is it's a very precise book because she begins the book with the darkest day of her life when she was in her fourth drug treatment center on her 10th day and all she could think about was running away to go find drugs. And she decided to go into the bathroom and get on her hands and knees on this filthy, dirty floor and pray. Just pray for enough strength to stay one more day in the treatment center because she knew at that point if she didn't give up drugs, she was going to die. And while she was sobbing her little heart out and praying as hard as she could, her prayers were answered. She felt this sense of peace and calm come over her. And
right.
She realized that with God's help, by tapping into her divine self, that she could get through another day. So the book is both the narrative of her journey through reconnecting with God and falling in love with God, along with her original prayers and prayers by her favorite poet, Emmett Fox, and some prayers by Marianne Williamson, as well as a how-to version of it, like I can do it, you can do it, and how to use prayer in every area of your life. So whether you're suffering from heart addictions or soft addictions or self-loathing or procrastination or whatever it is that is, you know, tearing at your soul,
right.
She has a prayer for it.
Right. And the piece that, you know, I resonate with Debbie so much on so many levels in different ways. And there's that piece, that story that you were telling about when she was on her hands and knees and she was describing how she was a clean freak and how disgusting the floor was. You know, the gray grout was actually black with mold. And I could feel it, you know, her descriptive telling of where she was in that moment was very raw and very real. And that's how she taught. That's how she drew people into her, was by allowing that truth and that vulnerability to be so visible and so transparent.
Yes.
Now,
and I wanted to let you know that her seminal work, The Shadow Process, which is a weekend workshop to have you identify not just your light shadow and the good parts of you, but most importantly, learn to love and find the gifts in your dark shadow, still exists and is still going on. It's still being taught by people that she trained. So it's called the shadow process. And one of the great things we were able to do with this book was we created a website for it. It's easy to find. You just go to debbieford.com. And if you buy a copy of Your Holiness, you will get access to a video of a half-hour interview that I recently did with her. I interviewed her about this book through James von Prague. And you can also entered into a drawing to win a session with James. And the drawing will also include winning a weekend pass to the shadow process. And then there's a bunch of audios of her meditations, which you receive for buying a copy of the book. So, you know, if this is ringing true for anybody, if you feel like your soul could use a little divinity, please, please check it out at debbieford.com.
And Mother's Day is coming. I'd make a great Mother's Day gift.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. So, you know, there's this piece with Debbie that you know, she's, like I was saying, she was so raw in her telling. And she knew connection to God. She knew connection to Source. When she was going through the last phases of her life here, was she talking more about her prayers? I know you had said that she was talking to Brian as she was going to treatments or something. Your husband Brian had mentioned to him that she had written these prayers. Was this something that she was like talking about in regard to, as it was her strength? It was empowering her.
In the last weeks of her life, she hardly spoke at all. I mean, she was really almost. She slept most of the time, and when she wasn't sleeping, she really didn't want any visitors. You know, there were those of us who were caring for her. But pretty much she wanted to be alone in her bed in a dark room, and she was sort of in two worlds at that point. And when she would speak a little bit, it was in little whispers, and she was so funny. Oh, my God, she was hysterically funny. I was sleeping next to her one night, and I felt something pinching me. And it was Debbie, and she couldn't really talk, but I was snoring. And she was trying to wake me up to get me out of her bed. And then I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll go in the other room. And then she said, wait. I said, what? She goes, take more vacations. She just kept saying it over again. Take more vacations. And then the next morning when I saw her, she opened her eyes for a minute, and she said, I think today's the day. And I said, okay, you know, whenever you're ready, you can go. We're all going to be fine, you know, because she'd been in this state for so long. I mean, really, she was totally bedridden. And then 2 hours later, I went to check on her, and then she opened her eyes. She goes, no, not today. So she never lost her sense of humor. But I do believe in those last weeks she was, you know, she was just sort of ready on one level but not on another. It took her sort of a long time to let go. But over the course of her life, I saw her become more and more interested in anything to do with God. And she had an Orthodox Chabad rabbi, Rabbi Zagwe, that she grew very close to. She took him to Israel along with 100 of her coaches 6 months before she passed. So she was always very interested in the deep dish spiritual stuff, and this book is very representative of that.
Right, right. This Drenched in Holiness, I mean, it. About halfway through, I almost lost it. I mean, the power and the energy, presence, it was just woo right there. So, you know, may I have the humility to follow my heart. I mean, that's a very, very basic human condition feeling. I mean, it's a very true feeling. And she's, you know, she's hitting the core issues here. You know, the passion to live my soul's desire, you know, may I dismiss the gravitational pull of my slower self, you know, this whole piece of where she's breaking down what's important and where her light and love reside. And it's just such a beautiful, you know, in reading this, it's like poetry. It's just complete poetry. Prayer poetry, but poetry.
Well, you know, the other thing that I really love about this book is that there's a couple of ways to use it. You can read it from start to finish, and you can also just sort of, you know, if there's a particular issue or something you want an answer to, you can just randomly open it and read a short prayer, because many of the prayers are just four lines. You know, you can just find an answer there. And I've had it on my desk for quite a while now, so that's what I've been doing. It's like, well, what would Debbie say about XYZ? And then I'll randomly open a page and point, and there will be an answer.
I love those types of books, because there always seems to be the perfect serendipity and message for where you're at in the moment with the question. And there's several books I've used like that, and I absolutely love those. Become like my little Bibles, because it's one of those books that has such chock full of wisdom and inspiration and pause, and that you're able to really absorb it in a way that you take the message in a very intimate, personal way. It's not something that's necessarily you can really describe or explain to somebody else on how it hits you, because that was the message. And that's how Drenched in Holiness hit me. It's a longer prayer in her book, but it is one that encompasses so much. I mean, as she starts off, Dear God, Spirit, Divine Mother, so it's all immediately you're encompassed in this trine of sacred energy and groundedness. And you can feel it with the words that she's chosen in this prayer. It has tremendous impact and power. And I really feel that when I said it. It was a little quite pulling. in a very good way, in a very good, healing, loving way. Now, you said there's DebbieFord.com. Anyone who wants to go and have her work still that's going on. Now, can they find her book there, or it's on Amazon?
Yeah, well,
it's probably.
Yeah, if you go to DebbieFord.com, all the information about the book with different buttons to buy it on different online sites and a full description of all the bonuses, the videos, the audios, it's all right there on that page. And, you know, if you're interested in doing the shadow process, that website is the Ford Institute, thefordinstitute.org or .com, one of those. But also on debbieford.com, there'll be a link somewhere for that as well. There was one thing that was in this book that I really loved, because she talks about the vibration of different feelings and how anger and jealousy and envy have a lower vibration, and love and compassion and kindness and generosity and forgiveness have a higher vibration, and that we're all like radio stations. We can tune ourselves to www.anger.com and live in this negativity, or we can switch to www.joy.com, and that we have the power to do this. And anytime we're choosing to be in the more spiritual and uplifting spaces, we're closer to God, and that's always our individual choice.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. That says it all right there. And that's what you feel when you read her words, is the vibration of this empowerment that she's giving you with this inspiration.
That's why I said the book is coded, because you can feel energetically that she put her heart into this book, that there's a healing quality to just reading this, to just letting yourself shift your attention from whatever is troubling you to the possibility of what, you know, if Debbie could do it, you could do it. I mean, when I say she was a drug addict, this wasn't a minor problem, Lisa. The week before she checked herself into the fourth center, she had bought a jar of 1,000 Percodan, 1,000 pills of Percodan.
Wow.
And in less than a week, they were all gone. And she didn't give them away. She ingested them. So she knew at that point that the end was really near. And she saved herself. Well, she saved herself with God's help, sure.
Right, right. But it's that connection with Source that she never let go of. And it's that piece that, you know, it pulled her up when she needed it. And that's this piece that we can all pull from and have hope, and buy a book, and be inspired. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I love this book. This is just such a blessing. It's timely. I find it extremely timely, not only for our world and our country and our transformation that we're all seemingly going through, but just, you know, this is a very important time to be conscious and aware and mindful and hopeful and have some inspiration.
Yeah,
and
no, the world's in a crazy place, there's no doubt about
it.
So anything we can do to contribute more love,
anything
and
positive,
more kindness.
You know, this whole loving peace here that offers faith and offers hope and gives you a different feeling and perspective. And the best piece was the energy that you were talking about, is the vibrational energy that all of these connections and essences have. That's so important. Now, we are going to bring in our second guest, who also did the narrative, I believe, of Your Holiness, which is Randy Thomas. And
she's the voice of the audiobook.
She is the voice of the audiobook. So I'm going to introduce Randy Thomas now to the audience. Ariel, thank you so much for being on today. This has been such a highlight for me. I just have loved working with you and Deb, and this has been really fun.
Thank you. Well, thank you for what you do and the gifts that you bring to the world with your love and spirit and energy. And I'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
You.
Have fun, Randy.
Thank
See
you so
you guys.
Much, Ariel.
All right.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello and welcome, Randy Thomas, 9-time Oscar announcer for the Oscars, and also the narrative. She did Your Holiness. Welcome, welcome, Randy. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on, Lisa. It was so great to hear you and Ariel talk about Your Holiness. And how Ariel brought it to the world via Debbie and James. And it's really a magical story. First of all, Ariel and Brian are my daughter's godparents. So
neat.
Connected.
Oh,
and
neat.
As you know,
it is. It's a very, very sacred circle, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you know, Debbie was my best friend. And the loss of her was really hard for me, as it was, of course, for her family and people who have been loving her and around her for all these years. So it was a big,
a tremendous
loss for me when she left. And you can imagine my surprise when Ariel wrote me one day and said, "Do you do audiobooks?" And I was like, "Yeah. I haven't done one in a while. She's like, "Well, send me something." And,
wonderful. And what a wonderful audio book to do. I mean, this is just one sacred book. I mean, it's, I remember the day when Debbie passed, and I could feel this energy. And you know, I know that it's to be suffering with a terminal illness, there's a In the passing of anyone who's been suffering, there's a bittersweet to the passing, because no longer are they suffering and they're in God's love, but at the same time we all suffer because we miss them. So her energy was so, you know, so intense that I could feel the energy of her passing. And of course my attention immediately went to Ariel, and then I knew your connection to her and to you, and I just, You know, it was a big loss for our world. It really was. But the blessing is she hasn't stopped on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So she's still working this energy. Now, talk to me a little bit about you did the narrative on this incredible book.
We call it narration, Lise.
Narration. Okay, thank you.
Right.
And did you feel as you were doing it a shift in her energy, like pulling her energy in? Did you feel her energy around you working with it? Did you feel, like Ariel was saying, there's different emotions or feelings that come with each prayer. When you were going through it, I'm sure that there was all this essence that you must have felt when you were doing it. Is that true?
Well, sure. I mean, the book is a beautiful book. It is truly the brightest of Debbie's light that she shared with the world, and it remained hidden until Ariel was, you know, encouraged to find this book. The prayers are beautiful. The fact that I hadn't, you know, I hadn't really grieved her being gone in a way that I feel was super healthy for me. It was a lot of guilt and sadness, and I, you know, I wasn't around Ariel and her mom and Brian and Beau and all of these people who were comforting each other. At the time, I was living in Florida, so I felt very alone and very disconnected from the whole thing.
Okay.
When Ariel wrote me in the fall of 2017, she said, "Do you do audiobooks?" I had no idea that this was the book, and she didn't tell me. So I literally had to audition not knowing whose book I would be reading. So then she didn't tell me because I guess she didn't want to disappoint me if they didn't choose me to be the narrator.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been,
okay,
you know, another blow for me. So the fact that it all came together in this beautiful way and Ariel orchestrated it so beautifully between Harper One and you know, the audiobook people, and when it finally came to be that this would be a book that I would read, I, you know, just myself in the book and really got a sense of what Debbie was trying to express here. And so through this, it became my own grieving process. In other words, you read Drenched in Holiness. That was truly the first thing I needed to read to get into the book. And I broke down numerous times in just trying to get through the first, you know, this first piece. And I thought, how am I going to do this 80,000 word book if I can't even get through this first piece? But
man.
And you know a lot about this. You know, you and I got to share a lot of this stuff. So when it finally happened and I was working with this incredible woman, Amy Rubinate, who does the audiobooks. Her company is called Mosaic. And just she and I were in a recording studio. I felt deeply connected to Debbie, and I literally had to read her story. And because I knew her story like my own, I truly went somewhere else as I read it. I still have not heard the audiobook, so I have no idea what the voice sounds like that I used. I never really heard anything that I've recorded. So I'm just going to pray that I honor this book in the proper way by lending my voice to it. And it was quite cathartic. And at the same time, I was going through a lot of my own stuff, and I've definitely felt Debbie very near me, rooting me on, and especially through this last Oscars. You know, that was her favorite show that I did. And there, you know,
that's
the 2008 Oscars. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, let's talk about the Oscars, because that's, you know, you're the ninth consecutive year of announcing the Oscars.
No, not consecutive. Right, it was my ninth time. Right, not consecutive.
Ninth time,
they
changed
announcers. Yeah, they change announcers with the producers. So
It
depends on who the Yeah, so that's why it's never been consecutive, because they keep changing producers, and each producer wants to create their own sort of sound and environment around the Oscars. So it was my ninth time, and it was magical for me. It was obviously a redo from last year, the same crew, the same producers, Jimmy Kimmel. All of us on the show got to come back and do it again, and I do think we got it right this time.
Nice. Well, you know, it was such an unfortunate snafu, and it was really handled so well. I think it was really handled very well in regard to just being honest. You know.
So you're talking about last year when Warren and Faye read the wrong name, and we had to fix it before we got off the air. I did think that was a beautiful moment for humanity to watch what happens in real time and how we should all handle getting our legs kicked out from under us. You know, Jordan Horowitz. That was an example
of
Hollywood
handled,
at its best.
It really was.
I agree.
It was a very present moment. Everybody was very present. They were very clear. There was a lot of integrity. I gave a lot of kudos to everyone involved there, because it wasn't, okay, you know, things happen. But so it happened, and it was handled
like
well,
life,
you know?
Yeah.
So, right. So, you know, it was so great that everybody was able to come back and, you know, knock it out of the park this year. So it was such a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Even bringing Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty back, which apparently someone took that information and spoiled the surprise for the audience, but nonetheless, it brought some laughs into the theater when they saw we were going to do it again. And the whole night it was an amazing experience. And as I was saying about Debbie, it was her favorite show. She did finally get to go to the Oscars with Jennifer Todd's sister, Suzanne Todd. They produce films together. And Suzanne Todd had brought Debbie to the Oscars. It was a year that I wasn't announcing it, which was a bummer for me. But Debbie finally got to the Oscars. And any Oscars that I had done, she would call me halfway through and say, "You're so amazing. It sounds so great." You know, she would just be my biggest cheerleader next to my mom.
Oh, how sweet. How wonderful. How long did you know Debbie? You knew her a long time. You knew the whole family, didn't you?
Yes. Well, in 1976, Ariel and I first met in 1976. In Miami, and it was through Ariel that I met Debbie, but Ariel and I were really, really good friends at first, and then through that relationship, Debbie and I became really good friends, and in the last, 20-something years of her life, we were besties, and we traveled together, and she would bring Beau, and I would bring my daughter Rachel, and the best vacation we ever had was in Aspen with Debbie and Beau, and watching my daughter learn to ski with Beau. It was really a magical, special, special time that we got to share. And so the impact she left on me is significant in my life, but truly, you can't be selfish about Debbie. The impact she left on so many people, the thousands of people she helped through her shadow process, which I've done numerous times, and she'd say, "You want to do it again?" I'm like, "No, I'm good." And then I would go, and I'd wind up sobbing and, like, releasing so much more of my stuff, stuff that I thought I was clear with. And there's a never-ending process to staying whole and healthy. Yeah, so, and that's the gift
that
she gave us.
That wonderful, wonderful journey that never, ever ends, isn't it? It's that piece. As soon as you feel like, you can rest, and then there's something else that shows up, and it says, "Hey, here's some attention."
Exactly. But, and Debbie's relationship with Oprah, I love that your relationship with Oprah has really been so connected. And you know what I mean? It's like you stepped in. There was an opening there, and you stepped in, and
well,
everything that you are about.
I don't know what my opening is with Oprah, honestly. I have no idea what my opening is with Oprah. I've always connected with Debbie. I think, you know, we both struggled with drug addiction. We both, very connected to God. There's a lot of parallels in regard to, you know, Debbie's shadows and my shadows that we both worked on. And I relate a lot to Debbie. Her energy is just very transparent, and she's very, very clear. There's no BS. She is what she is. And we both have a little bit of, you know, a potty mouth, which I really like. So we're a little spontaneous in that realm. But yeah, you know, I really felt like if Debbie was around, I feel like I know her on this level in essence, and I knew her briefly through, you know, you and mutual friends, you know, but I never broke bread with her. So her essence is one of those pieces that, you know, I felt very strongly when she passed, and even grieved her death like she was a friend. And it was a very powerful passing for me, I have to say, because having sisters myself, I immediately projected into how Arielle must be feeling and how she must be moving through the journey. And then having known that you were connected also, there was also my grief for you in losing, you know, a connection. And there's this energy and essence of hers. You know, she's flashed in and come through quite a few times here with me here, and it's been quite astounding how clear she comes in around me. And even as I was doing this show, her energy has been very, very present. And she's quite, you know, she's a little cheeky like I am, so I like that. there's that spontaneous piece there. So, but you know, I see her work as something that it lives on. And you know, even in your, you know, in you talking about her and the essence that you bring forward as, you know, knowing her for so long and being friends, did you watch her evolution over time? Did you watch her growth as she evolved into the radiant essence she became? Or was she always this?
You know, I think I watched it. I watched it grow and change, because when I first met Debbie, she was doing drugs. You know, it was a part of the time. And I don't think we judged. We didn't think about it. Those of us that participated in doing drugs in the 70s and early 80s was like, that was just what the culture was for those that, you know, that had issues, that wanted to sort of forget about who we were for a moment and just get lost in, you know, shifting your space, you know, by doing drugs and not wanting to feel and look at things. So I saw her go from that to this person that cleaned up her act and got very clear on her addiction, and then realized that even though she had gotten clean, it didn't change the aspects of herself that she wanted to disown. She was like, I'm clean, but I still don't like myself. I still don't love myself. What is that? She thought that getting clean would clean that up, and it didn't. So the fact that Deepak supported her in creating the shadow process is what shifted everything for her. She, of course, wanted to have people around her all the time. Debbie was a girlfriend. She loved her friends. She loved being sourced by her friends and the energy and the love. And so she created this shadow process that really helped her be complete with who she is and what her purpose was. And in fact, at some point in her life, she was able to have a glass of wine, or, you know, certainly at the end she had to take painkillers and smoke pot and do things to sort of help numb the pain. But she actually got very clear with addiction, and she was able to have a glass of wine again eventually and not become the addict that she had been. So that tells me that she really did clean up her stuff and that she no longer had that need to lose herself in drugs or alcohol. Well, alcohol wasn't really her big problem. So, you know, and I think that the work that she does and the example she held out for all of us shows that that possibility exists for all of us. And
exactly,
the message she's leading us with,
Well, and, you know, it's still such an important and timely message because, you know, I went through the drug addiction in the 80s and before I had my first child. And it was one of those things where, you know, I woke up one day and I said, okay, cold turkey, man, I'm not doing this anymore. This is crap. And that was it. And so I stopped. But I understand how going into a shower and washing my hair could trigger the smell of cocaine and would start getting me to Jones. So I understand that cycle of, you know, going through that piece of really looking at who you are and okay, giving yourself a little bit of compassion as you're working through this piece that's not so pretty. You know, it's not a pretty piece to look at. But, you know, but she owned it, and she was so honest, and she was so truthful. And so, you know, what I love about Debbie and always loved about Debbie is her transparency. And if there's one thing I would always like to be myself is transparent, is because, you know, there's nothing that I think teaches or guides or instills more than somebody who has been through the gutter, the ditch, and rise up. And, you know, she's bringing us this book, this incredible prayer book that, like you said, you were, you know, you're a third or a fourth of the way through drenched in holiness and you're ready to lose it. I felt the same thing. I got choked up, like, okay, I'm feeling this, Deb. I'm feeling how much I need to be saying this, Deb.
She's
got power here.
Correct. And you say the word transparent, but I would say integrity. The fact that she really got clear about what integrity is and what that means to you and how you have to be constant and consistent in how you react to the world and the choices you make, even when you're fearful, you know, let the you know, what is that we say? May I seek to know the highest truth and dismiss the gravitational pull of my lower self. You know, when you are in integrity, you rise above that. That no longer even becomes a choice to drop down and look at what's beneath you as opposed to focusing and looking at what's above you. You know, for me, Lisa, having been a disc jockey, and that was my first love in life as far as a career and my choice to be, to lead a creative life and an artist life was my connection to radio and wanting to communicate. And that, all of that centered around a love of music and not being musical, but knowing how to share music with the world and being a DJ for 20 years. I find it so interesting when you talk about, and I think you and Ariel were talking about, that truly life is like a frequency. It's a matter of which frequency you're tuning into as to what you will bring into your existence. So when you're constantly tuning up the dial and raising your vibration little by little, you truly, and you're really aware, you will see the good things that are coming into your life the higher you tune that dial. And when you get lost in that lower self and the pull, you're going to then bring people into your life that need and steal your light and are not supporting you and where you need to go. And the more you can tune that dial to the higher radio station, that's the energy that you're going to bring about. And that's a visual and something that I always lock into.
I love it. That's a great, great analogy. That's great for me because I do that. I use visuals for myself as little motivational visuals. But this is and that's the piece of where, you know, in today's world when there's so much struggle and drug addiction, that we can have somebody who came out of it, you know, on the other side, who wrote a book that is empowering through the prayers, through the words. And as you read the words, you'll feel her power. You'll feel the prayer. It's almost like she called in the higher power and said, okay, these words, you know, it's like a biblical text. It's like these words you will feel in your soul. And when you say them, you will feel them in your soul. This is just, you know, I said to Ariel, I said, these are the kind of books that I love to have as like a bedside Bible that you can just open up if you've got something. Because Ariel said you can use it many different ways. You can read it from front to back, or you can have a question or a concern and pose it and then open the book up at random and read the passage.
Yes.
And I love those. You know, those always bring me the most inspiration. You know?
I agree.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Randy.
No, I was going to say, and there is almost a prayer every page, you know. There are snippets of prayers and full prayers throughout this book. So, you know, if one doesn't resonate with you, keep reading, because the next one might be like, oh, yeah, that's the sweet spot. That's the one I really need to look at, you know.
That's right. That's so true. That is so true. And there's this essence of Debbie that lives on in not only her work and her books, but in the people who love Debbie and talk about her, like you and Ariel and all her friends and loved ones. And there's an essence that people are tapping in. And Ariel has talked about this, that people get visited by Debbie or tap into Debbie or dream about Debbie. She's even come into some of my dreams, which has been very interesting. And one time she came to my dream with Wayne Dyer, which was really, really funny.
Wow.
But
it's
I feel
so
like I've been a...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. When you talked about Wayne, you know, I had known Wayne. Wayne and I actually dated like a million years ago. Right when he had written after Erogenous Zone. Yes.
No.
So it was early on. Yeah. Crazy. And it was before Debbie and I were super tight. It was during when Ariel and I were friends. And, you know, it's just so crazy when you are drawn to the work that Debbie did, that Wayne did, the work that you're doing. And even though I've never felt like I've been visited by Debbie, I don't feel those connections that people say, oh, Debbie came to me in a dream or Debbie spoke to me. I don't hear that. I don't know why, but I don't have that experience. The closest I came was in the reading of this book.
That's what I was going to say. Read Drenched in Holiness out loud to yourself in your sound room, and allow yourself to cry, because I guarantee you she's going to be there with you, and you'll both have a healing session here, because I feel like she's right there tapping you on the shoulder, but there's so much pain in the grief, because you're still grieving. There's a part of grief that you haven't tapped into yet. There's a part of the pain that is so painful, it's you have to give yourself permission to feel it. And that's the hardest part, you know, when we love somebody and they're not in front of our face that we can touch them, but their energy never dies, because love doesn't die. You know, that's the frequency that lives on and on and on and on, and you can't destroy it. So wherever there was love created, that love exists and that bond exists, and so your connection to her exists. So need some private time to call her in. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here if you
want. Lisa. Thank you. Well, you've been there for me ever since we met, so you are incredible. Did I lose you? Sorry. Isn't that funny? Maybe Debbie's messing with us.
She's definitely around.
Yeah, she just sort of took my phone and said, no, let me mess with this phone a little and shake it up, saying, yeah, no, I'm here. Trust me, I'm here. I love that.
She is definitely here. I feel like this is going to be a very a good launching book for everybody to really grasp and really receive. I'm going to get the audio version because I love your voice and I love to listen to audio on when I drive, and I love to drive. So I think that's
thank you.
Like the best of both worlds. Yes, I'm going to get the audio version.
I love that.
On it.
Thank you. And I believe that Debbie and the Ford Group, they put together a package that includes the book, a special video, the audio book, and so I don't know what address
Ariel gave you
to go get that.
Yes, and a drawing for a free reading with James von Prague,
James,
the master of mediumship. So, yes, this is like, and he doesn't do private readings anymore. He only does, like, auditorium-size rooms, and you might get, you know, what,
right,
3 to 5 people might get picked, you know. But I think that's wonderful. You go to www.arielford.com, everybody, on that one.
Okay,
and
so spell that. A-R-I-E-L-L-E-F-O-R-D. Just arielford.com. Just put that into your browser. That's all you need to do.
Ariel, the website's actually Debbie Ford. Ford.com, www.debbieford.com. Sorry there. We're in this from all bases. Well, anything you would like to share. Hey, you have a podcast. Talk about that. Let's talk about the name of your podcast and where the audience can find you. My goodness.
Every week, yes, my husband and I. Maybe Debbie was behind this, because 6 months ago, my husband and I started a podcast called the Music Connection Podcast, based on Music Connection Magazine. And we're distributed on iTunes and Podcast One. We are doing a weekly show where we interview artists about music and their music. And we have these young,
nice,
incredible artists that are dominating the charts today and are the up-and-coming YouTube stars that have, you know, millions of fans, and yet they don't even have a regular record deal, but their fans seem to find them. We're talking to these kids, and I'm having a blast with this podcast. It reconnects me to my radio background. You know, I figured out have the right idea. Your podcast launches live every week. I can just tune in and hear you live. Mine is about recording, editing, putting music in. It's a whole production. And then we have to upload it, and it drops every Wednesday. I'm thinking, you've got this figured out. You just go live, and then you're done, and then it gets archived.
It's only because I'm so tech-challenged, Randy. It's because it's the easiest way for me to do this. You know, it's like I'm a one-man, one-woman band here, you know.
So, there you go. The important thing is you are doing it. So
incredible.
I thank you.
Well, thank you. But I love the show. And you've had Tora Stinson on from the O Mags, one of my buddies that I just met through O Magazine here. But please, we've got like 90 seconds, so please tell the audience where they can find you, what the name of it is, and how they can connect in.
Okay. So my personal website is randythomasvo.com. So that's RandyThomasVo, for voiceover.com. And what you can do is just scroll down to the podcast button, and that will take you right into our podcast. You'll see we have 25 episodes now of incredible interviews. They run anywhere from 25 minutes to over an hour. And we're so excited that we keep turning out this show every week. I'm really proud of the work we're doing. And I appreciate anyone that wants to tune in, or If you do and you like what you hear on the Music Connection podcast, please download it and rate and review it, as I hope you will for Lisa, because this is how other people can find our podcast, by rating and reviewing. It puts it out there into the ethers, and we both appreciate that very much.
Amen. Thank you for that. Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Randy, thank you so much for being my guest on Unlimited Realities. Everyone, please go and buy Your Holiness or the audio version with Randy's voice on it. And Randy Thomas is the announcer for the Oscars, and she's got this wonderful podcast. Go check it out. Thank you, audience. God bless you for tuning in today. And Randy, thank you again for being my guest. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh,
I really
love you, Lisa. Thank you.
Love you, too. Have a great day. Goodbye, everybody. Have a very blessed week, and we will talk again next week.